My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one, two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Happy Earth Day, Mike.
Happy Earth Day, Judy. I'm still...
you guys are high.
Oh, man. It's the post-420 glow. It's the afterglow of 420. And how did you celebrate 420, Miss Former High Times employee?
By not smoking any marijuana.
Oh, you're so strict.
Nah, it's just not my drug.
I can't say that. It's good. And I think today we with our esteemed guests over here, it is the Ween and Wide show today.
Weed and wine, the not weed, ween and wine.
Ween and wine, did I say that right? that shit works, apparently. It was a lifesaver. It was an indica sativa blend. I looked it up on like medicalmarijuana.com.
That was my shortcoming at High Times, one of them. I could never tell the difference. It all just made me silly. Not silly, more like asleep.
So, celebrating Earth Day and 420, let's introduce our guests.
Well, first we have Michael Gonzalez, a journalist who just... wrote a great story in Complex Magazine about getting high with Snoop Dogg, Cypress Hill, Tricky, I don't know, who the hell else?
Barry White, which was
a cavalcade of stars.
Oh, D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. It was actually Complex.com, not Complex Magazine.
Well, the future is the web anyway, so... Yes.
So I've heard. And, of course, returning today, as triumphant return to the Mike and Judy Show, Jean-Luc Ledoux, James Beard...
Who came bearing gifts.
...winning wine superstar, who brought us some awesome wine to taste today. And I'm already into it. Why don't you tell us what we're drinking, Jean-Luc?
Today, since today's Earth Day, I thought it was very important that we drink a wine that's made naturally. So this is kind of an extreme type of winemaking. It's called biodynamics, and where you follow the rhythms of the moon and other stars, and which makes a lot of sense when you do it. So this is a white wine. It's a Saumur from the Loire Valley, from Domaine Fausse-Sèche, 2009.
It's nice. And being king of the hippies, I love this organic shit.
What isn't all wine made like in big barrels of grapes that people stomp on?
Mike and I Love Lucy.
Yeah. Is it all natural?
Mm. No.
This is nice.
No, again. Wine is probably one of the most unnatural product of wine, made.
Oh.
You can do a lot of things to make wine. And, from the fertilizers that you put in the ground, pesticides that you put in the ground that goes into your wine, from ways of, like, filtering wines, et cetera, et cetera.
You're making it less appealing. So this is good stuff.
There's really been a movement over the past 30 years now of winemakers to going back to make wines the way wine used to be made in the 18th, 19th century, which was extremely naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And wines have gotten so much better since then.
I mean, seriously, there's a large industrial wine complex, the military-industrial wine complex.
Like the Franzias of the world?
What the hell's going into this shit? Actually, what's going into the reefer that we're smoking, I find it, just incredible. I'm a little cynical about this whole medical marijuana thing, and I get my weed from a guy that, I dial on the phone, and he drives by on his bicycle, and some super-duper nice hippie, opens up his case. It's like that scene in Raging Bull, or Taxi Driver, rather, when he's buying the guns.
Right.
It's like that. Here's your choice. Hey, man, I'll take them all. And the guy will throw on, a leather holster, too.
I used to date a pot delivery guy. Because I was really dating men with futures back then. I shouldn't say that. Very nice.
But I'm cynical. Can you imagine if it was that easy to get a Xanax script, and then you went to the store and there were 45 different flavors of Xanax? I mean, something about it seems just
delicious.
A little... I know, right? It seems a little cynical. I wish to say that, like, this is, you know, strictly for medical purposes.
Michael, how do you feel like pot has changed since when you started smoking it? Probably in,
well,
when you were.
I remember buying loose joints on the street. I think that's how I first started smoking.
Yeah, man, like a dollar a pop.
Exactly.
A dollar for some Colombian dirt weed.
Or you could get a tray bag. There used to be a place up on Broadway and 145th Street, and you could buy these tray bags, which were $3 bags of weed. You got like four joints out of it.
$3. Yeah. I never saw less than a nickel bag, but I do remember the $3 acid hit and $3 vials of crack, too, of course.
Speaking of psychedelics, I mean, did you read the Times story today about treating illnesses, like getting people over their fear of death with psychedelics? It's a very exciting story. It's very cool.
I have very successfully blown all the bad shit out of my brain with LSD.
I've never taken LSD.
I think I used all my free stories in the Times, so now you know, I can't. I saw your story on your Facebook.
No,
page,
but if you click the link, you can get to it, because if somebody else links to it, you can get.
Oh,
yeah, so
I
you
didn't
can still
that.
Read it.
Oh,
so weed and wine are kind of can be natural if they're made that way.
I feel exactly. like Mr. Natural right now. I'm there. Back to the garden, baby.
You know, I see a lot of similarities between how. You know, now when you hear of those dispensaries in California, etc., mm-hmm. and they have all those different kinds of weed and those special selection and strain that have been developed, and one is better than the other. And this is pretty much what has been happening with vines through the centuries, where you select the best material that's going to give you the best fruit.
I think wine, I can measure it better. There's a more substantial, viable yardstick by which I can measure wine versus measuring weed. Like the joint we smoked before. Okay, it was a little peppery on the nose, you know. you know,
see, I could never tell
it had, you know, it wasn't overpowering, it wasn't perfumey, right? And it's got a, I'm like, you know, flying the fucking spaceways now. It's very mellow, very, very trippy, not intense. Maybe the... the review I read was probably pretty accurate. That
well,
it's
let
calming.
Me ask you a question. Do you ever get weed that smells really, really good and it doesn't do
yes.
anything for you? I mean, it's
yes.
like, smells incredible, but it's like, you might as well be smoking oregano.
Yeah, it's Fugazi. It's, you know, absolutely. You know, there's like that show weed that looks really great and it does not pack a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like
that's
the hairy, sticky buds that people used to get.
Yeah, Jack, why don't you chime on this? You have a bit of expertise.
Oh, I find people really overlook darker buds because they want the green, crystally, like Michael's saying, you know, the good-looking weed. But sometimes those dark buds are better than they look.
That show weed, you know, is responsible for promoting these fallacies.
High times.
Yeah, exactly.
Asshole.
Yeah, fuck them. I did want to read something here. This, Michael, this is from your blog. And let's see, originally published in One More Robot zine. This is your story, Broadway Buddhas and the Birth of Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
And dressed in jeans, a t-shirt, and ProKid sneakers, I was paranoid even before taking... Oh, there goes my iPad. before taking the first puff, I had never smoked before. The year before, my mom found a High Times magazine stashed in a box that also contained copies of Players and Cherry. Well, she didn't seem to mind smut, mom lost her mind over High Times. I want you to know, I am a former Cherry employee as well. So I read that, and I was just beaming with pride.
But Cherry was so, like, I mean, Penthouse, I guess, was supposed to be nasty, but Cherry was really nasty.
Cherry was nasty, but the idea was supposed to be all American girls.
No, but Cherry had a scratch in Sniff Centerfold one time. I mean, that's classic now.
I tried to get that in High Times, but they wouldn't spring for it.
I worked at High Times for a while, too. I worked after you guys, but I worked with Ann Nocenti was my
editor. Comic book editor.
And Norman Mailer's son, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Is that like...
Yeah, he was the guy who wanted to take the pot out of the magazine. Yeah, and had that work out for him.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, that was, you know, the brilliant, you know, future strategy of High Times was to take the pot out and make it a lifestyle magazine. They were still trying to get that big Levi Strauss account, you know?
Is that what they were trying to do?
Are you kidding? They took the pot out. The advertisers went, you know, all with it. And, you know, they were having fire sale prices on the ads just to make payroll, I heard. I mean, it was a disaster. It was one of the greatest disasters in the history of modern magazine
publishing.
Well,
I'm glad I didn't know all of that. I used to go up there and actually sit in the waiting room and wait for them to give me my check. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. Just...
Yeah, and I waiting there for a long time.
No, they usually brought it out. I think they were a little scared or something. I don't
know. Paranoid High Times. So let's drink up this Earth Day wine, which I'm enjoying. Can we get this at your place, Jean-Luc?
Yes.
And where is your place located?
600 Washington Street.
In fabulous Tribeca?
In fabulous West Village.
Oh, West Village.
West Village.
I got to say, Jean-Luc does have the best wine shop in New York. It's absolutely fantastic. It's like... not snooty, you know. It's regular. I've played. You've
played guitar there.
You know, I have a standing gig.
Sitting
there.
On a case of champagne and drinking.
It's the most expensive stage I've ever been on. Sitting on that case of champagne and paying me in really nice high end spirits. You know, I do have a taste for Calvados and Armagnac.
And those are great.
Yeah, man. But I do love your store, and it is so nice and easy going. So what else do we have to drink here? We have this lovely organic white wine. Let's move on to the red.
Already, you haven't finished your white. You already want to go to the red. Huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know,
we can talk more about pot if you want.
No, let's talk about wine songs, because I just wrote book, the official Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Book of Lists, is coming out in June ish. But I had to do. I had 101 songs about pot, but I could only come up with 10 wine songs.
Only 10 wine songs.
Oh man, there's. So
I mean, you must know some that I don't know.
I don't know.
Red wine. Neil Diamond. Yeah. Let's start right there.
He gave us the wine by Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers.
You already got one.
Million versions of drinking wine. Spodiote.
Yeah, drinking wine. Spodiote.
Spill the wine. Is that how you said to spill the wine? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
But we were talking, too, and you were writing about the best weed songs.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems to be like, you know, every 2 months someone wants to run that at High Times on the web.
Well, I mean, I tried to do it because I had done a little research and I saw all these lists and how people did it. So I wanted to do it a little bit differently. I put a little research into it, found out, like, when Philly Blunts were first made, or found out, you know, the history behind different songs.
Sure, great. And, you know, obviously there's a great tradition of marijuana songs in, you know, Viper songs in American culture. I mean, since the 20s, I mean, the jug band songs. I mean, lots of great, like, jug band songs about cocaine as well, and lots of heroin songs and needle songs. But the Viper song and the marijuana song is definitely something that's evolved. I guess the heroin song kind of went out of vogue after that first Velvet Underground record.
Well, I had found, some kind of public domain tape in a dollar store called Reefer Songs.
Yep.
And it was like all these songs by Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway, like all these songs from the 20s and 30s that was about weed. So anybody that thought that Snoop Dogg was the first person to talk about smoking weed, I mean.
No, you know, all that like I said, the Viper songs and hitting the gong, passing the gong.
What was your favorite pot song?
Well, from
as
back,
a connoisseur.
I have a couple favorites. I mean, the list, they didn't go by what I said. I said number one should be Rick James, Mary Jane. They said number one should be Method Man and Red Man, How High.
I picked
I
Afro
like Rick
Man,
James.
How I Got High.
You know, the best Reefer song is It's Not Rainy Day Woman?
No.
Well, a Rainy Day Woman.
Or Legalize It? Or
no.
You don't like reggae, so if I say Kaya,
you're
just going to give me that evil look again if I say Kaya. I know that look, Judy. That's the shut the fuck up.
I actually went to the, I don't know, I can't remember if they ran Kaya, but one of my good friends was friends with Marley, and she wrote a book about Exodus. And her name is Vivian Goldman. She teaches at NYU, writes for the New York Times.
Oh, she's really cool. I want to have her on the show.
Oh, you can, she's one of my best friends. So, like, I told Vivian, you know, can you give me a little thing about Kaya? And she just, like, wrote something up for me. I can't remember if they used it or not, because after I wrote the list, I didn't really read it, because...
I'm familiar with that. It's like, that's over with. I'm just waiting for the check.
It's like, it was so intense, because, of course, I waited till the day of the deadline to turn it in, because I was smoking weed all week. And
I mean, what's the criteria, really, for the weed smoking song? I mean, I think there are two categories. The one is... that's specifically about the weed, your Viper songs, your Legalize It, et cetera, et cetera. But then what about the songs that are just best paired, as we're drinking wine and pairing it with everything we do these days?
Well, with
the experience.
Well, that
say.
Was the thing. I mean, I wanted to talk more about the stuff that I smoke weed and write to, which is like the Massive Attack and Tricky and Portishead.
Yeah. I love Massive
Attack.
You know,
I did Massive Attack, too. That is like the great chill out.
I mean, like, whenever I'm writing, I put on Blue Line, smoke a little weed. I was like, I'm there, you know?
But, Judy, how can you love Massive Attack and be, like, so anti-reggae and, like, so anti all these other quasi-hippie kinds of music?
I don't like jazz.
Philistine.
That's why you get along with Bob Morales, because you guys don't like jazz.
It's like saying I don't like books.
Even Bob is upset like, with my dislike of the Beatles, though.
Yes. Well, you know, that's philistinic.
Well, as Abby Hoffman used to say, the best hamburgers are made from sacred cows. Fuck the Beatles.
I think we're gonna hear one of a good wine song for our little break. It's a Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood.
Right on.
Cherries and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. I walked in town on silver spurs that jingled too. A song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine. Whoa, whoa, summer wine. Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in the spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs.
Well, all right, we're back on the Mike and Judy Show. It's Mike Edison with Judy McGuire and our esteemed guests, Michael Gonzalez and Jean-Luc Ledoux. And Jack Insley, engineer to the stars, broadcasting live at Roberta's here on the Heritage Radio Network. Judy, I wanted to ask you before we got back to our guests. You're in the bar mitzvah business now. And
it's been mazel tov. Mazel tov. Mazel tov. Enough of this mishigas.
Oh, man. Nice work, McGuire. Tell us. I understand you've filming The Apprenticeship of Buddy Kravitz Part 2. This time it's personal.
Well, I mean, there's big business in bar mitzvahs. I'm actually going to...
Yeah, there are Jews involved. What do you think?
I went out to Video Larry's studio on Great Neck the other day and perfected... We tweaked the bar mitzvah movie for one of my clients.
You wrote the script. You're the screenwriter.
I wrote the script. This is my second bar mitzvah movie. I also rewrote the father of the bar mitzvah boy's speech, which ended up with me comparing the bar mitzvah boy to Moses. It was kind of a reach...
Setting the bar kind of low, aren't you?
a boy becomes a man, and that's a low point. No,
and then frees the Jews from Egypt.
He didn't. The young man did not free any Jews or part any seas.
Tell me more about Video Larry, because when we're talking about this, I pictured Larry from the Three Stooges.
No. He's a nice guy from Great Neck. They do bar mitzvah and wedding videos and stuff. And yes, this was quite a production.
Can you leak this onto YouTube so we can see it and smirk ironically?
This is one of my best clients. She's a lovely woman. She cares a lot about her kids, and it was actually pretty fun for McGuire to be writing.
And her kids intellectually challenged? They can't write their own goddamn speeches?
No, her kid wrote his own speech. It was the dad who needed a little punching up of the script.
Spoken as someone who had a really miserable bar mitzvah experience.
Well,
that is baggage.
Well, a friend of mine who was doing, we hired to do the voiceover for the bar mitzvah movie.
I must have been busy that day. I must have missed the call.
Well, he'd been bar mitzvahed by Jackie Mason's brothers. One of Jackie Mason's six rabbinical brothers.
Right. It's a family of rabbis, right?
It was fun.
Oh,
but anyway,
man.
So what are
Let's
we drinking?
Let's get back to shit that matters.
Booze. Which is in short supply at a bar mitzvah.
Excellent Pinot Noir from Burgundy. Jean-Luc, tell us about it.
Well, you know, this is a very, very cool Pinot Noir from Burgundy. This is a Blagny. It's a very small village, probably one of the most obscure of the Burgundy appellation, from a producer friend of mine, from a great vintage of 2009. You know, when you told me that today you were doing wine and weed, I thought I would bring up the subject of monks, because I think, for me, the monks are the old-timers, pot growers.
Monks have a long tradition of making wine and beer.
They would find the perfect place to make it, the perfect strain of Pinot Noir to make it, and so it's as good as possible.
So let me ask you, if I was found myself wandering around 15th century Burgundy, Bourgogne, what would I be drinking? Would I be drinking Pinot Noir wine?
You would be drinking Pinot Noir wine, yeah. And you know, although they used to grow hemp in Burgundy, all over Burgundy, and actually you find a lot of old names of vineyards where the name hemp in French is lin is used.
Was it grown commercially?
Yes.
For rope.
For making sails and rope and these sorts of things. And certainly,
exactly.
you know those the haute couture of of your
the
average
hemp
monk.
Necklace yeah, with the bead.
Yeah, hemp was a very
you know
was,
the rags and robes and what the hell do you call it? You know, monk wears
shmata. Oh, sorry, I'm Jewish.
Awesome. Well played, Maguire.
Wow, you got some distorted monks there.
That's good. I think your career in Judaism is gonna fly.
It's named after me. Come on.
Wow.
Judaism.
That's so awesome.
You're only laughing because you're high.
Let me just deal with that. But did you notice at the beginning of the show I was sort of slurring, but I did that sponsor drop and station ID like a pro. I don't know. I think it's the wine. Stacking the wine on top of the weed and it's doing wonders.
So wait, the grapes are grown by monks?
Well, no. Originally, the vineyards were planted by monks.
Okay.
Now, today, in France, we had a revolution in 1789, and all the land that was.
You heard about that.
So, but everything, all the land that was owned either by the nobility or by the monks, by the church, mm-hmm. was confiscated and sold at auction.
Okay, so your friend bought some.
Huh?
So your friend bought some land.
And my friend bought some, yeah.
But back to this wine. I like it. It's dry. It's got a little body, but it's light like a Pinot Noir, but it's got a little something to it.
It's what I'm looking for in Pinot Noir. It's lightness, that elegance. The fruit has really that brightness to it that, you know, likes from a lot of other wines.
I think it's got a lot of self-confidence, this wine.
I think it's got self-confidence.
It's a wine that knows itself but believes in its own message.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't need us to believe in itself.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't need me to tell it what it is, this wine.
I wish I could speak about wine that way.
I like the way you spoke about Judaism, though.
I'm an honorary Jew.
Man, I'm kind of intimidated.
But you are not Jewish.
No.
And you do bar mitzvah, bris, bat mitzvahs, voiceovers.
I do it all. I need to branch into other religions too. I'm an atheist, so grew up Catholic, went to Catholic school, yet I found this niche.
We should do the last Catholic show.
You're kind of suitable for every occasion.
I'm a whore, basically.
I think we should do the lapsed Catholic show. I think that would be a good theme for a show.
Is there
Michael
any
Smiling,
are
you going to come back for the lapsed Catholic show?
Well, I used
Catholic
to be an
show?
Altar boy.
Oh, man, you're definitely...
He's not that lapsed, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
There's lapsed, and then there's
it's a little complex, right? It's complicated, okay, as they say on Facebook.
Well, why don't you tell us about getting stoned with Snoop Dogg?
And his mommy, who called him Snoopy.
Speaking of laps,
was all born again. I mean, look, I was covering Snoop. I used to write a lot. I used to write a lot for urban magazines. I wrote for Vibe and The Source and Rap Pages. And, you know, I was flying all over interviewing different rappers. And everybody smoked weed. I mean, and everybody, let me just say, my stories aren't that unique. I just decided to write them. I don't know why all these years, all the writers... other rap writers I know have never written your stories.
Because they're afraid they're going to get busted by their magazine.
It's crazy. There's a real stigma about it. I mean, surprise, journalists get stoned with rap stars.
I
mean,
with Shane McGowan.
Yeah,
like,
it's so fucking mundane that I'd almost like, if you brought that in, I'd say, come on, Michael, I'll try a little harder
than
this.
Well, one of our friends was telling me about sniffing coke with Keith Richards, and he's like, I don't even do drugs, but I couldn't say no to Keith.
I don't do that either, but I couldn't say no to that.
What's crazy, an editor at a major rock magazine who actually just hired me for a gig this week, so maybe I'm going to be kinder than this week and see how it goes. But the former editor, I was writing a story about Keith Richards and this sort of essay about my Rolling Stones fantasies and this reoccurring dream I have where Mick is always a dick and Keith is always a really nice guy, just like real life.
Real life, right?
Like real life. Well, I had a drink with Keith one night. He was super duper nice to me. Anyway, as I was saying, you know, in reality, like, Keith buys me drinks, but Mick never comes over to my house with the really delicious cocaine. And the editor says, you can't call cocaine delicious. Okay, this is like, you know, in a major newsstand rock and roll magazine, says, you can't call cocaine delicious. And I was just shocked. He goes, no, we don't want these drug references in our magazine. You mean in my story about Keith Richards? Well, no drug references.
Can I just say, I had an erotica editor. An erotica editor. Like, we're writing about all kinds of sex, and she tells me, you write about weed like it's legal. I'm like, well, you know, everybody I know smokes. Like,
at High Times, there was a lot of... their relationship with sexuality is very, very bizarre over at High Times. I mean, first of all, it's a fucking sausage fest, and there's largely a lot of misogynism and homophobia going on over there. Yes. While out of the other side of their mouth, they're talking about worshiping the goddess. You know, Judy, you know better than anyone. You know, how was your High Times experience?
So horrific. So horrific, I played a really mean prank about them, which I wrote about in this month's Cosmopolitan magazine.
Really? Oh, wow. Cosmo.
Who's on the cover?
That bar mitzvah speech is...
Slut.
Yeah, I'll buy it. two of my favorite words.
So wait. So how cute was Snoop's mom?
Snoop's mom was adorable. You know, I like older women, and I was just you know, I could have been Snoop's stepfather, but you know, she woke me up off the couch. I mean, I was smoking these blunts with Snoop, and you know, I guess he's used to it. I'm a little weak, I guess, and I wound up passing out while he was in the backyard doing a photo shoot, and Snoop's mom came downstairs and woke me up, and she said, "Oh, baby, everybody can't smoke that stuff Snoopy smokes."
That's so cute. Man. I wish I picked a Snoop Dogg song.
So there's still time. Snoop's to me is a mystery guy. I mean, he's obviously you know, great and talented, and he's amazing what he does, and
he's a very charismatic guy.
Yeah, he's got that thing, right?
Well, he's a family guy too. I mean,
he's a family guy. He's a pornographer. Yeah. He makes ass fucking movies for Larry Flint, but he also has a child's TV show.
But
he's a football coach for his little league, you know.
And he makes ass fucking pornography for Larry Flint.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, his mother is like, hey, Snoop grew up in the church. Snoop used to be in the choir. It's like, He's another conflicted one, okay?
Yeah, he's like this wine, you know? He doesn't need us to tell him what
is. I tell you what the biggest disappointment was they told me that I was going to a party at Snoop's house. I thought it was going to be like something out of NWA and naked girls dancing on pool tables and guys shooting. And it was just like uncles and aunts and kids running around.
Like it could have been at your house, but in a
fancy upset. Like, I was like, what? Come on. I flew all the way out to California for this.
Where's like super, what was her name? Super Slut or whatever?
Superhead.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this was
you before. Are so hip, McGuire.
She was probably still in high school at this time.
Here on the cutting edge of the Mike and Judy show. Man, this wine is really doing wonders for me. Do we have another bottle kidding around? Do we want to taste one more fantastic wine?
No.
No?
What do you mean no?
We don't.
Grandma. You know, you're supposed to be the co-host, not the chaperone, Judy.
You call me the chaperone. I'm just looking. There's two bottles of wine.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't
it? I see single things now, Mike. I haven't been smoking the Marahooch, seeing like four of everything.
That was the lifesaver. I think.
So there are 10 of us and 4 bottles of wine.
I think it came as described. The analogies. Next time, I'll try something more sativa-based and see if the description is right. I'm cynical about these descriptions about weed. I mean, yeah, this definitely has me like, you know, 10 feet off the ground, but, and it's mellow, but it sounds to me more about the potency than some weird sideways descriptor for the psychotropic effect.
I have to admit, I buy my weed from the same guy for the last 15 years. I don't know what it is. He just gives me like whatever he has.
That's the way I like
it.
I'm
happy that way.
I think I prefer that.
Less choice.
I used to buy this like amazing like brickweed, this Mexican brickweed, and it was dark bud like Jack was talking about, but it was green. It wasn't like Colombian brown dirt weed like we used to get when we were high school. I mean, it was good. It would have qualified as quote unquote Sensimilia in 1980.
Yeah, you remember Sensimilia?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's compressed, you know, and it's not like, you know, super moist, but man, it got you where you wanted to be, and it cost like nothing. It was still like $50 an ounce, like 6 years ago. $50 an ounce. So what would this bottle of wine set me back, Jean-Luc? If I were to go to your store, Jean, Ledoux's
Wine, the white wine would turn you, you know, like about $26, $27. Mm-hmm. The Burgundy would be more like around 59. Really? I kind of splurged for you guys today.
I figured,
you know, it's Earth Day, you know, we don't come to Roberta's too often, you know, we'd have a little fun. Well, and I know you like a good Pinot Noir.
I do, and it's opening up a lot. I can tell the difference. It's really,
it's really a great vineyard, and it's a great winery called Thierry and Pascal Matreau. They've been around. I mean, the family's been around for 150 years. They have this vineyard, which is totally unknown. It's an appellation that you know, I would say 99% of people don't know. But that little corner that they had, they make just fantastic wines.
It's great. It's really delicious. It's nice to drink a bottle of wine above my pay grade.
I think about all our pay grades.
I'm always in
What's
search.
A pay grade?
I'm always in search of that great $20 bottle, you know, $15 to $20 bottle of wine. And believe me, I used to be looking for like the $10 to $15 bottle of wine.
That's where I am.
Well, I was spoiled, you know. One, I'm a Jew and I don't like spending money. But two, I lived in Europe for so long that I was getting amazing bottles of Rioja for three hundred pesetas when it was still a peseta and it was super fucking devalued.
Oh my god! Yeah,
you were getting the stuff that's now
Spain 20 years ago, 15 years ago. go, meaning like,
you know,
you pay nothing for wine.
A bottle of good, like, you know, super oaked, you know, Rioja from a great family that costs you in a restaurant $60-$70 was 500 pesetas. And their version of Woolworths, where I go to buy it in Vips. 500 pesetas was probably $3.75.
Mm-hmm.
And we were splurging because there were 300 peseta bottles of wine that were perfectly palatable as well. What the hell's going on over there?
We're whispering.
There are no secrets here on the Mike and Judy show. I smoke pot. I'm all sorts of fucking paranoid now.
We're talking about you.
Oh, man.
No, Michael just wanted to remind me to tell everyone to check out complex.com.
Michael, where do we find the article? It is absolutely fantastic.
It's, Blunted on Reality, complex.com, and the 50 Best Weed Songs also at Complex.
Do they link to the songs there, or do you?
Yes, they do. In fact, they have the whole songs, which everybody keeps saying is so amazing. I never knew because I don't really listen to that much. I listen to stuff on the internet from YouTube, but I don't listen to a lot
of
different
websites. And from us,
of
course. He listens to us religiously. Sometimes three or four times.
I mean, I'm writing so much, I don't have time to listen to a lot of stuff online.
Don't listen to the Mike and Judy show if you're trying to write something, because we get all up in your head. Shit,
you know? We just don't need. We're like little nits in your
head. All right.
Hair.
Well, it has been, once again,
The
fastest 30 minutes on the internet today. I'm looking forward to our lapsed Catholic and Angel Dust show.
Oh, right.
Once again, it's the Mike and Judy show from Mike Edison, Judy Noir, Mike Gonzalez, and Jean-Luc Ledoux.
Thank you.
Weed and Wine, baby. You. See you next week.
All right, guys. A big bow, wow, wow. Because we're going to make it a little mystery here tonight. This is DJ E. Sadiq on the station that slaps you across your fat ass with a fat dick.
When I met you last night, baby.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.